Welcome back to Radio Rothbard. Let's talk this time a little bit about new jobs release numbers that have been coming out over the last couple of weeks. Specifically, the Bureau of Labor Statistics on Tuesday released new revised benchmark payroll totals used for estimating employment in the United States. Now, these are revisions to earlier release data. And as you probably know, every month the BLS puts out a new jobs report and there are some initial numbers that come out. And that's usually what's discussed in the media extensively. Later, the BLS comes out and they revise those numbers. They set new benchmarks for their estimates. And so these are revisions to those numbers that have already been discussed and have been used in the past for political rhetoric and discussions about the economy. And what's going on is those numbers, which we were told were great jobs numbers, have been massively revised downward. So this is for the period ending March 2025, and the total number for that period has been revised downward by 911,000, and that's the largest downward revision on record and the biggest since 2009, and that was, of course, in the midst of the Great Recession. So Bloomberg reports on this, quote, before the report, the government's payroll data indicated employers added nearly 1.8 million total jobs in the year through March on a non-seasonally adjusted basis, or an average of 149,000 per month. The revision showed average monthly job growth was roughly half of that. In other words, you had that 1.8 million total that was revised down by 990,000 or so. So, I mean, it's about half. So you're just cutting everything in half. In other words, during most of 2024 and into early 2025, the regime and the media were repeatedly reporting about blowout six-figure job gains, close to 150,000 per month, while the real average monthly job gain, it turns out, was half that, or around 75,000. And the job market was considerably weaker last year than was reported based on these new revisions. Now, Bloomberg goes on to note that, quote, payrolls were marked down in nearly every industry and most states, unquote. Significantly, private payrolls were revised downward by 880,000 for the period, led by large downward adjustments in wholesale trade, retail trade, professional and business services, and leisure and hospitality. This latest negative revision is the second year in a row in which monthly jobs data had to be revised downward in a big way. For the year ending March 2024, the benchmark payroll revision was negative 818,000, making it the second largest downward revision since 2009. Moreover, for the period ending March 2023, the downward revision was 306,000. In total, that's over 2 million imaginary jobs that were included in initial data and in those monthly job estimates, but which later had those numbers just disappeared. It turns out they were much, much smaller. Now, this latest blow to the credibility of the BLS's jobs numbers comes on the heels of last week's release of the August jobs report. That report showed that the downward revision hardly stopped in March of this year. That is, the continued negative revisions are an ongoing thing, and big ones. As we saw, big new downward revisions to jobs totals for both May and June in the new monthly report released last week. These new downward revisions come even after President Trump fired the commissioner of the BLS, after Trump complained that July's jobs report were coming in too low. Well, it looks like he didn't fix that problem, as Trump saw it, at least, because the latest employment numbers are even worse than last month's numbers. Moreover, June's total payroll number was revised down again in last week's monthly report, showing that the United States actually lost jobs in June. June's job losses, which now come in at negative 13,000, were then followed by a gain of an unimpressive 79,000 in July, and with a new August total coming in at a paltry 22,000. So that's notable, by the way, having a negative month-to-month number on job growth. That generally only happens within the context of a recession or some other period where it's recognized that there's very bad job growth, or the economy is growing very, very slowly, or may even be weakening. So with July showing a decline, that's probably pretty alarming data. So total job gains have now averaged a measly 29,000 for the past 3 months. This all suggests a rapidly weakening job market. And remember, this is all coming after, in addition to the big downward revisions for the period ending in March. That is, the more recent numbers aren't looking any better than last year's numbers. Now, in an effort to find some good news, Some might point to the household survey, where total employed persons increased by 288,000 in August. Now, this is the household survey, separate from the payroll establishment survey, which was the survey that received those big downward revisions. Now, unfortunately, though, the household survey also shows that the employment level is still below where it was in January of this year. That is, according to the household survey, there has been no employment growth at all in 2025 and is actually down by 500,000 employed persons over the past 8 months. Over the past 3 months, job growth in the household survey is coming in at an average of 40,000 per month. So there's simply not much good news here. Another reason for concern is the fact that what job growth we have seen in the household survey has been due increasingly to part-time employment. This is usually a sign of a weakening labor market. Specifically for August, total full-time employment decreased by 357,000 compared to July. At the same time, part-time employment increased by 597,000. Over the past 3 months, full-time employment has fallen by an average of 360,000 jobs per month, while part-time has increased on average by 477,000. Thanks to this lack of full-time jobs, we should not be surprised then to find that more and more workers are holding down more than one job to make ends meet. Notably, the total number of multiple job holders with two or more part-time jobs has been trending upwards since 2021 and now sits near a 30-year high at least. It could be even longer if we delve into some of the older data. This also helps explain the discrepancy between the establishment survey and the household survey in terms of numbers and totals. The establishment survey includes just jobs in general, and that's both part-time and full-time, whereas the household survey measures employed persons. So there are more jobs out there than there are employed persons, but those employed persons are increasingly having to rely on holding down more than one job as of those jobs counted in the establishment survey. Now, the stagnation in total employment is also fueling increasing unemployment. For example, in the July data, the total number of unemployed persons in the household survey exceeded the number of job openings for the same period. Now, last week, I predicted this would translate into a rising unemployment rate, and last week's monthly data release shows this. The unemployment rate in August rose to 4.3%, which is the highest since October 2021. That's being fueled in part by rapidly rising unemployment among young people. I mentioned last week that recent college graduates are now experiencing higher unemployment than all workers overall. Now, we find that for August, the overall unemployment rate for workers ages 16 to 24 years rose to 10.5%. That's the highest since April 2021. Excluding the COVID period, we have to go all the way back to July 2016 to find a higher unemployment rate for that age group. Meanwhile, the total number of unemployed persons in August rose to 7.38 million, the highest since September 2021. The number of discouraged workers also increased again in August, rising to 1.79 million. Now, remember that all this bad jobs news comes out after months and months of reporters and other pro-regime pundits telling us that the jobs economy in the United States has been magnificent for years. The imaginary blowout jobs numbers were key to an ongoing narrative that was used repeatedly throughout 2024 and has been used even up until July of this year, depending on who's using the numbers to push their own agenda. We see how this narrative was crafted by complacent and credulous economists, pundits, and reporters. We can note how the message of a strong jobs market was pushed repeatedly using the job growth numbers that we now know were false. Moody's economist Mark Zandi, for instance, repeatedly referred to the economy as quote-unquote picture perfect throughout much of 2024, and we now know he was basing this rather fanciful assessment on deeply inaccurate job growth numbers that were often double the real number. At the Washington Post, finance reporter Heather Long gushed month after month about blockbuster jobs reports and about how they just kept surpassing expectations. It turns out those numbers were made up, but Long lacked either the honesty or the skill necessary to really guess at the reality behind the numbers. As late as mid-2024, Long and the Post staff were still repeating the inflated job numbers, which fueled the claim that the Biden economy had produced 6 million new jobs over pre-pandemic levels as of mid-2024. Again, those factoids were based on made-up BLS numbers, which are now being massively revised down. Now, the Trump administration, which is only skeptical of job numbers when they don't favor Trump, also uncritically accepted a bunch of these numbers. And for March 2025, for example, Trump's Labor Secretary Lori Chavez de Raymer declared, quote, "We blew it out of the water." She says that in all caps. "We blew it out of the water. It smashed expectations amid explosive private sector growth," unquote. It turned out those numbers were hugely inflated. Among ordinary people, however, the general mood remained significantly less jubilant than that expressed by the uncritical pro-regime economists. Disconnect between public sentiment and the official job estimates led to an entire subgenre of articles in major media outlets lecturing us about how the economy is much better than the public thinks it is. "The U.S. economy is doing better than Americans think," lectured one headline from Newsweek. Boston Public Radio harangued its listeners about their lack of appreciation for the supposed blockbuster economy. Quote, "You may think the U.S. economy is in bad shape, but that's not the case," unquote. City Journal interviewed the editor of The Economist, Simon Rabinovich, in late 2024 with the headline, "The USA economy is strong, but Americans remain skeptical." Rabinovich declared, quote, "Recently, America has been generating about 150 to even 300,000 new jobs per month," unquote. Well, that number, turns out, was more than double the real number. It was a made-up number. Throughout all these articles, the authors and editors kept asking themselves, why do these stubborn, ignorant Americans not see how wonderful the job market is? Well, perhaps one reason the public didn't appreciate all that blockbuster job growth was that it didn't exist. Through all these months of imaginary six-figure job growth, the Federal Reserve's economists also repeated the lie, insisting month after month that the job market was solid, although the Fed's beige book data increasingly showed a stagnating economy. The reality of that anecdotal data was dismissed as contrary to the BLS payroll numbers, which of course showed blowout job gains. Wall Street hasn't shown any more discernment than the Fed or the finance pundits. For the past 2 years, every time the BLS releases a new report exceeding expectations, quote unquote, the market rallies on the official claim that the economy must be in great shape. At this point, it's abundantly evident that the establishment payroll survey is utterly unreliable, at least in initial estimates. Later estimates appear to be more trustworthy, but those numbers come in many months after the end of the months in question. Clearly, using the initial estimates to construct any sort of narrative about the current state of the economy is folly. It's even worse to try and craft public policy based on this same sketchy data. But what about the other survey of employment? There are those two surveys, of course, the other one being the household survey on which the unemployment rate is based. While the payroll survey is a survey of jobs, including part-time jobs, the household survey is a survey of persons. So many pundits and politicians and policymakers may continue to insist that the economy is going gangbusters because the unemployment rate, as calculated by the household survey, looks supposedly great. Unfortunately, beyond the headline unemployment rate, the household survey doesn't look too good either over this longer term. We discussed a minute ago about how just in the last few months it's not looking so great. But even the larger trends, there's not much to crow about. For example, the household survey shows us that the number of discouraged workers has been steadily climbing since March of 2023. That total now stands at 6.3 million. Those workers aren't even included in the calculation of the unemployment rate. So the unemployment rate is underestimating the actual number of workers out there who are unemployed and would accept a job if they could find one. Moreover, the number of unemployed workers that are included in the unemployment rate has also risen and is now up by more than 1.2 million workers over the past 18 months. So why hasn't the unemployment rate gone up with this increase in unemployed workers over that period? It's because the labor force participation rate has gone down. And similarly, the household surveys also tells us that the employment population ratio is at a 10-year low, excluding the COVID period. So workers are leaving the workforce, and that helps suppress the unemployment rate. And then there is still that problem of growing numbers of multiple job holders. And across various categories, those are still at 30-year highs and growing over the past 18 months. When it comes to actual growth in the number of employed people, the household survey doesn't provide much good news. As I mentioned earlier, the unemployment level measured by the household survey has fallen by 500,000 since January. But at least the household survey numbers are more reliable, right? Well, not quite. A perusal of household survey numbers over the past year will show a very large and odd surge in the total number of employed persons from December 2024 to January 2025. That's not an artifact of real employment growth, though. It's a big revision to estimates of the population size, which translated into a big bump in the estimate of total workers. This was a big change in the numbers and can't be viewed as a big gain for employment. As the BLS noted at the time it made the revisions, it said, quote, "This year's adjustment was large relative to adjustments in past years. It reflects both updated methodology and new information about net international migration in recent years. These annual population adjustments can affect the comparability of household data series over time," unquote. Translation, household survey numbers are subject to big revisions also, and the numbers must also be taken with a huge grain of salt, especially when making comparisons over time. So when we look at the overall trends over the past 18 months, we see just so many different pieces there that call into question, what is the trend here? And they used to just really kind of dismiss the household survey because they would say, hey, look how great the payroll establishment survey numbers are. But now that those have been massively revised downward, the weak household numbers look a little bit different because now we're looking at both weak establishment survey numbers and weak household survey numbers. And so that gives us a totally different perspective on what the actual employment situation is. Now, if you've managed to make it this far, hearing about all these details about revisions to government reports, there's an important lesson that we can take away from this. It's the idea that we can centrally plan an economy or make real-time pronouncements about monetary and fiscal policy based on monthly government reports. And that idea needs to be regarded as pure fantasy. The mega revisions to the payroll numbers over the past 2 years has made it more clear than ever that it is absurd to accept the federal jobs report as an accurate picture of the previous month's employment situation. Recent revisions show that if the government reports 200,000 new payroll jobs in any given month, the actual number could just as easily be 100,000 or maybe even 10,000. The number might even be negative. They'll eventually get to probably a pretty solid number on that, but that could be months later and it won't have much to do with the actual narrative that's then being pushed based on the initial data release. So we've all grown accustomed to this dog and pony show in which the BLS releases a new jobs number and then the politicians and pundits and financial experts, quote unquote, start talking about how that number tells us how the central bank should set its policy interest rate. Or the politicians might claim that the latest job number proves the U.S. is in the midst of a historic period of prosperity, thanks to Biden or Trump or whoever. And then a few months later, that number on which the experts are basing their policy schemes is revealed to be some other number entirely. This isn't to say that it would be possible to centrally plan an economy if the initial monthly job estimates were actually accurate. As Ludwig von Mises has shown, central planning is impossible no matter how good the government reports are. Yet, even if the monthly job numbers were pinpoint accurate with the first try, month-old aggregated statistics can't possibly tell us what the correct interest rate is or how much deficit spending is optimal. Central planning has always been a fantasy, and it's even more fantastic when the government statistics are so thoroughly wrong for so long. Thank you for listening to this episode of Radio Rothbard. We'll be back next time with more, so we'll see you then.